Go ahead and turn to Leviticus 23. Let me remind you, of course, we've been studying the Feast of Israel, Leviticus 23, and then our lesson number 7, if you remember, is the Day of Atonement. That is the High Holy Day. It's the biggest day. I just wanted to finish it up. We got a lot of it done the other week, right before Christmas, but I want to remind you of some things. We'll just kind of get a quick review. We're going to look at the Scripture, and then we'll finish that. And then next week, we'll continue on with Tabernacles and then all the others as well. We're going to go fairly quickly through most of them. There's so many famous things. Like, we're going to talk about the wedding and the bar mitzvah and the one in which is all the years, you know, the year of Jubilee and all those kind of things. We'll do that. Let me start with a prayer, and then I'll review just real briefly. In fact, I'll ask some questions, see how well you can answer the questions, and then we'll get right into the lesson. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for our class. Lord, I love our class. I love the time that we have, that we get to be together, and we get to study, and we get to talk about things from the Word of God. Lord, we ask you that as we look at the feast, and we realize that the feasts were given to the nation of Israel, but they were given so they would remember certain things, and they were also foreshadows and pictures of things to come, especially dealing with Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you that as we study them, we actually see our Savior, and we see a timeline, and we see the flow of history, and we see so many great things. And so, Lord, we just ask you that as we study, that you would teach us. We'll see how all this fits. Lord, thank you for this Sunday school class that we get to be together every week. Thank you for the fun that we have. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for our Savior Jesus, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Remember this, and this is when we, just to remind you of this, we're looking at the different holy days that God gave the nation of Israel. And you can take the word holy day and it really becomes holiday. And so when people start saying holidays, a holiday goes back to a holy day, a day that was set apart, a special day. We've already looked at the weekly feast. We've already looked at the monthly feast. Now we started the yearly feast. And if you remember, we've been tracing through the yearly feast. So here's question number one. On the 14th day of the first month is what feast? What is it? Passover. And what is Passover about? It's a foreshadow of what? What's it the picture of? Jesus Christ is our what? Passover lamb, how he died and paid for our sins. They took a lamb and they put the blood on the door and they came out of Egypt, and that was the Passover lamb which delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. By his shed blood, he delivers us from the bondage of sin. And so that was Passover. Then the 15th to the 21st is what feast? Unleavened bread. And unleavened bread was a picture of no sin. So first of all, it was a picture of Jesus Christ living the sinless life. But second is the picture of those who come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, come through the blood of the Lamb. We're supposed to live sinless lives. We're supposed to live righteous lives. Then there was a feast that happened on the first day of the week after the Sabbath in the week of the Passover week. What was that called? First fruits. And what is first fruits a picture of? Resurrection. And it's the picture of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Jesus Christ died on what day? What day? Passover, 14th day of the first month. What day did Jesus rise from the grave on? Feast of First Fruits. It was the first day of the week, but it's First Fruits. So those feasts all tie together. Then there's a break for a little bit. In fact, you take and you count 50 days from then, which the word 50 is what is the feast that means 50? Pentecost. And Pentecost to the Jewish people was what? It was a mystery. That's right. See, they knew what it was about. They had the idea that it was tied back into the giving of the law, and it was the bringing out of first fruits, and then you took more food and everything. But if you actually said to them, "What's the real issue?" they might say, "Well, it's kind of a mystery." And then, so what happened on the day of Pentecost? The church began, and the church was a mystery in the Old Testament. In the book of Ephesians tells us in chapter 3 that the church was a mystery, was not talked about in the Old Testament. So the day of Pentecost, the church age began. Then, following that, you go to the seventh month. These first three were in the first month and then sort of the middle and now the seventh month. On the first day of the seventh month is what feast? What was it? Trumpets. And that was a picture of the gathering nation of Israel. And when you really think about the Feast of Trumpets, it was both a picture of the rapture and the second coming, because at the rapture, which of course is a mystery aspect from the Old Testament, but the rapture, there's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain to be caught up together with them. So we'll be taken off at a trumpet sound. But for the Jewish person, the Feast of Trumpets was an ingathering. It was a picture of how God gathered them them together as a nation, but also the gathering together at the second coming and starting of the kingdom. So that was the picture. Then last time, and several weeks we've been looking at it, we go to the 10th day of the 7th month. And what day is that? The Day of Atonement. Now, from the first day of the month, which was the Feast of Trumpets, to the 10th day, which is the Day of Atonement, there is that 10-day time period called the Days of Awe. And that was where the Jewish people are supposed to, for 10 days, think about, okay, my life, and I want to be righteous, and I want to live righteously, and they want their name in the book of righteousness. We know that the way you get your name in the book of life is by faith in Jesus Christ. But the 10th day of the 7th month is what we call the Feast of, or the Day of Atonement. So look at Leviticus 23. Look about verse 26. The Lord spoke to Moses on exactly the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. Now what we saw is that the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It was a Sabbath day, which meant there was no work done on that day. And it's really, really powerful. That verse 32 says, it is a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall humble your souls on the 9th of the month at the evening, from the evening until you shall keep your Sabbath. So basically it was a day of humbling. Now let me remind you, we did this last time. I'm just going to go through it very, very quickly. Then we're going to look at the verses, and then we're going to see how it actually ties into Jesus Christ. Let me just remind you of what happened on the Day of Atonement. And as I teach through this, you tell me what's supposed to happen. The high priest would come out that day. He wore his regular clothes when he got out there. The crowds have gathered. This is the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement. What would the priest do? He would go behind a curtain and do what? He would change clothes into a plain white robe. He would come out, and they had certain animals there. What animals were there? A bull and two goats, okay? The bull was for who? The priest and his family. The goats were for who? The nation of Israel, okay? He would cast lots. Lots came up. One goat, lot came up. It was called for the Lord, and the other was called the scapegoat. So you have those two. He would then take the bull. He would sacrifice the bull. Blood would come out. He would take the blood. He would catch it in a pan or a basin. This animal is sacrificed for him to cover his sins and the sins of his family. He would go into the holy place. And then in the holy place there is, and at the altar of incense in the back, there was a curtain. What's behind the curtain? The Holy of Holies. And what's in the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant. Now, he's going to take the blood of that bull, which has been sacrificed for him, and he's going to pour that out on the Ark of the Covenant. But before he can go into that room, what must he do? Do what? He must fill it with what? Incense, smoke from that incense, from the altar of incense. So he puts that behind the curtain. The room is filled. He goes in there, pours out the blood, which covers his sin and the sins of his family for a year. Comes back out. People are rejoicing that he made it. Tradition says they tied a rope to his leg. It's not biblical, but tradition says they tied a rope to his leg that if he were to die when he went into the Holy of Holies, they could pull him out. He comes out. He takes the goat. The goat represents, is going to take the sin of the nation of Israel. And so he cuts the throat. Blood comes out, goes in the holy place, goes back into the Holy of Holies, and pours the blood out. Is that correct? And covers the sin of the nation of Israel. He comes back out, and what do they do then? Take the scapegoat. There's been one person whose plan, his job, was to take the goat, and they lead the goat out into the wilderness. Some have estimated 7 to 10 miles away, and the goat is gone. It's symbolic of the death and resurrection and the taking away of the sins, and the sins are gone forever as far as the east is to the west, and so he takes that away, and that's the Day of Atonement. Now, let's look at it. I want you to just see it. Look at Leviticus. No, do this. To actually see it, you have to go to Leviticus 16, so turn to Leviticus 16. I want you to see it. Leviticus 23 is where it's mentioned. Leviticus 16 is actually where you see the Day of Atonement. Is anybody there? Leviticus 16, verse 4. Okay, here we go. Here's what the priest does. He shall put on holy linen tunic, and linen undergarments shall be next to his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash and attired with a linen turban. These are the holy garments. He shall then bathe his body in water and put them on. That's him getting ready. Then look at verse 6. Then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household. So he does that, and he kills the bull. Then he goes on to say, though, that he hadn't done it yet. He's saying, here's what he's going to do. Then he's saying, Aaron shall cast lots for two goats, one lot for the Lord, the other for the scapegoat. Abel shall offer the goats and all of that, and he talks about that kind of thing. Then we get to him actually doing this. Look at verse 11. Then Aaron shall offer the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his household. He shall slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. Look at verse 12. He shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. Then he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the ark of the testimony. Otherwise he will die. Now just think about that. He knows that before he can go in that back room, that incense better be in there, and that smoke better be in there. It better cover the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, or else if he goes in there without that being done, that's basically the intercession of Christ. If he goes in there without the intercession, he would die. And then moreover, he shall take some of the, takes some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his fingers on the mercy seat on the east side, also on the front of the mercy seat. He shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. That's the bull. Then he comes back out and look at verse 15. Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring the blood inside the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. So he's going to do that as well. Notice what it says. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the impurities of the sons of Israel, because of the transgressions regard to all their sins, and thus he shall do for the tent of the meeting which abides with them in the midst of their impurities. Do you know, actually, when he's pouring out the blood, and when he's sprinkling the blood, and he's sprinkling the blood on the Ark of the Covenant, and he comes back out and sprinkles the blood, he's not only covering the sins of Israel, but he's purifying the Ark and the Tabernacle, because the Ark and the Tabernacle, which is symbolic of Christ, is in the midst of an impure people, a fallen people, so he's got to keep it pure. That's why we're going to see in just a minute that Jesus Christ did the same thing. Okay? Now, watch what happens. Look at verse 18. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the sides of the altar on all sides. That's what he does out front. Then look, verse 20. When he finishes atoning for the holy place and for the tent meeting and the altar, he shall offer the live goat. Then he's going to offer the live goat. And watch what he's going to do. Aaron shall lay hold of his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins, and he shall lay them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. There was one guy who had been picked. That's his job. He's standing there waiting. That his job that day, that particular day, and it was a very important job. I mean, it was a big deal. He's going to be the one to get to take the goat and take it out in the wilderness so it never comes back. He's got to take it far enough away so it won't come back. And then it says, the goat shall bear on itself all the iniquities to a solitary land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Now, I want you to think for a minute about Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was a high holy day. It was a Sabbath day. It was a day in which they afflicted their souls. It was not a happy day for the nation of Israel. It was a holy day, but not a happy day. All the other feasts were happy days. They celebrated and had fun, but on the Day of Atonement, it was a time of afflicting souls and covering sin. And so you can picture that day when the priest changing clothes. He goes in there with the bull, blood of the bull, and comes back. He goes in with the blood of the goat, comes back, and he releases the goat. Now, we know that the things in the Old Testament were written for our instruction. We know that the priesthood, the sacrifices, the tabernacle, the law, all of those things are really pictures of Jesus Christ. So what we realize is that the Day of Atonement is actually a picture of Jesus Christ as well. Because on the Day of Atonement, who did all of this work on the Day of Atonement? The high priest. Not just a priest, but the high priest. Jesus Christ is called our what? High priest. In fact, he's called our great high priest. Also on that day, there were sacrifices. Jesus Christ is also called our what? Sacrifice. Our Passover lamb. The sacrifice, the one who pays for sin. And so on the Day of Atonement, here was a priest, high priest, offering sacrifices which covered the sins of Israel for a year. He went into a tabernacle on earth. Now, the tabernacle on earth was made by who? But man, who made it? Who made sure it got made? Moses did, okay? But Moses went up on a mountain and God told him how to make it and God showed him a pattern to make it. Where was the pattern? In heaven. And so what we realize, there is a tabernacle in heaven that the one on earth was made after. In fact, the book of Hebrews tells us that the tabernacle on the earth was a shadow, a type of the one actually in heaven. Now, what we want you to see, and this is why I love this so much, is just as a high priest went into an earthly tabernacle and covered the sins of Israel for a year, Jesus Christ, our great high priest, went into the heavenly tabernacle, poured out his blood as the final sacrifice for sin, and did not cover sins for a year. He paid for sins for all time. Now that's what's so beautiful. Now let's see that. Hebrews, go to the book of Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 to start with. We're going to just go to two different places. So I want you to see, first of all, Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I don't know what, I went real fast, Mark. So yeah, you got all those. Go on to the, that, those are the verses that are there that we just, now, Hebrews 10, I want you to look at verse 4. Before we get to Hebrews 10, John 1:29 calls Jesus Christ the Lamb of God who does what? Takes away the sin of the world. Now, the thing that is so important is Jesus Christ is not a sacrifice that covers sins. That is atonement. Atonement is kapor. It's the Hebrew word to cover. Jesus Christ is not a covering. He is a propitiation. What does propitiation mean? Satisfactory payment. He's not a covering for sin. He is the propitiation for sin. That's 1 John 2:2. He is the propitiation not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Hebrews 10, verse 4. Look what it says. For it is impossible for the blood of what? Bulls and goats to take away sin. What do you think of when you think of bulls and goats? Day of Atonement, because they sacrificed the bulls and the goats. Now, look over at Hebrews chapter, still in chapter 10, look at verse 11. Every priest stands daily. Now notice, there's a couple of key words. It's every priest, and it stands, and it's daily. Stands, what do they mean standing? There's no place to sit down. If you look at the tabernacle, if you look at the temple area, when people would come in, the priest stood there. The priest came out front. They offered the sacrifices. They had the brazen altar. They had the laver. If they ever went into the holy place, there's no place to sit down. In fact, all around the temple area, there were no places to sit down. Why were there no places to sit down? The work was never finished. The priests were always offering the sacrifices. In fact, it got to the end of the day, and the one priest was up there, and as soon as the sun went down, he blew the horn, and they shut the gates. And then they left. And most of the time they stayed at the temple. They had places that they lived at when they were doing their particular time. They got up the next morning, opened the doors. People came in, and all day long that's what they did. Notice it says every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never what? Take away sins. Why? Because the blood of bulls and goats cannot what? Take away sin. A blood of an animal cannot pay for a human being's sin. Why? Because how can an animal's blood sacrifice pay for human being's sins? It can't. The only thing that can pay for a human being's sin is the sacrifice of a perfect human being. That's why Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came and died for us. Now, notice verse 12. But he, Jesus, having offered how many? One sacrifice for sins for all time. What did he do? Sat down. Now, Jesus, the picture is Jesus as that great high priest goes into a tabernacle and offers blood, a final sacrifice, but it is a sacrifice that doesn't pay for sin. It is a sacrifice, I mean, it doesn't cover sin. It is a sacrifice that pays for sin. And when he's through, what does he do? Sits down because the work is now finished. I want you to see something. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a what? What does it say? As a high priest of the good things to come. What's the old thing? The law. The new thing is Christ. Watch. Jesus was the high priest of the good things to come. He entered, watch, through the greater and the more perfect tabernacle. Whoa, where is the greater and more perfect tabernacle? It's in heaven. Notice he says, not made with hands. The one on earth was made with what? Hands. That is to say, not of this creation. Where is it? Now let me ask you this question, and we know the answer, but let me ask you this question. Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, as the great high priest, could he have gone to the temple in Jerusalem and offered the sacrifice? Why not? Because the only people who could serve in the earthly tabernacle were those from the tribe of Levi. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. He is a priest, not after Levi. He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So where is he going to offer this sacrifice? Christ entered through a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and notice, and not with the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained what? Eternal redemption. The final sacrifice for sin forever. It goes on to say, for the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifer sprinkle those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh. But how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse us? And that's why it goes on to say that he is the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus Christ. Now, I brought this up last time, and just to raise the question, when did Jesus go into the holy place in heaven, into the tabernacle, and offer his blood as the final sacrifice for sin forever? When did he do that? We don't know. We know this, that when he died on the cross, we don't know, that's for sure. We know that Jesus Christ, before he died physically on the cross, he already died spiritually, was separated from the Father, and paid for sin. There is a possibility that at that time, in some way, Jesus Christ went to the place in heaven and poured out his blood. We don't know. Second, when Jesus Christ was put in the grave, it says, as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. During that 3 days and three night time period, some say there is a possibility that during that time he went to the place in heaven and offered his blood as the final sacrifice. The third thing is some people say that from after he rose from the grave and he walked on the earth for 40 days, sometime in that time period, because remember, he would show up and he would disappear. He would show up and disappear. Some people say in that 40-day time period is when he went to the heavenly place and offered out his blood. I can't find in the scripture where it says that that's when he did it. We know that when he went to the heart of the earth in that 3 days and three nights, he did preach, as it says, the book of 2 Peter says, he preached to some angels who were in a place called Tartarus. They were rebellious angels, and he gave some message to them. Okay? And we also believe from Ephesians chapter 4 that's probably when he took the Old Testament saints to heaven with him at some time. When he led captivity captive, most scholars would say, if you had to pin it down and say, when do we think this happened? It probably happened in that three day and three night time period, but nobody knows. Ken? Uh-huh. Right. Well, we're not sure, because he's talking about his... I don't know if y'all could hear Ken, but Ken talked about, remember when he rose from the grave on the first day of the week, and she saw him and she grabbed him and he said, don't go, hold on to me now, I'm not yet ascended to my Father. Most believe that he's talking about his physical ascension, which is going to be the 40 days later and taken off there, not necessarily going into the presence of the Father. But that's a possibility. It's a possibility that's why some people say in that 40-day time period, that's when he went up there and offered the blood, because that's what he said to her there. I personally would say, if you had to pin me down, I would probably think probably sometime in that 3 days and three nights is when he did that. But nobody, there's no way to know. Yes, Hazel. Glorified?
That's what he said to her.
I'm not yet glorified. Okay. Glorified has that. I think that what he's meaning there is he's going to go back and take his position at the right hand of the Father, awaiting the triumph and his return. So that's what I think his glorified position is. Because if you talk about him right now, where is he? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting until everything's ready here for him to come back. First of all, to get us, and then to come back as the King. We will get glorified bodies at the moment that he comes to get us and we're changed. Yeah. Yes.
I don't see it anywhere, but like all the sacrifices in that temple are in the Holy Holies.
Yeah.
Did they ever have a day designated to clean up?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, did they ever clean it up? Right? Because every year there's it's now only. I've got. Has anybody blown any bells? Have they blown any bells? They have, both of them. Oh no. Okay, let me do this real quickly. The best I can understand is, you know, that once a year they went in and poured out two different times and sprinkled the blood on the thing. Some say it was just like it was always had blood on it. Others say that somehow, because they didn't go in there. They couldn't go in there. Only the priest could go in there, a high priest, one time a year. So nobody went in there to clean it up. Like, it's my day to clean it up. They didn't do that. So either it stayed bloody as symbolic, or somehow God erased the blood every time, and then as they poured it out again. My guess is it stayed bloody as symbolic to show that this is the blood that has been poured out to cover sin. Okay, I know time's up. Two applications. I think, do we have them right there? Go ahead, go. Realize that Jesus Christ, of course, is the Lamb of God. He is the sacrifice and substitute. And then the second one is just thank God for our substitute and sacrifice. Just be thankful for what God has done. Okay, that's lesson 7. Next time, lesson 8, and we're going to get to the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll see how that ties together. That's really dealing with the kingdom, and we'll see those things as well. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thanks for our class. Thanks for the fun. Lord, thank you that Jesus is the great high priest who offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin forever. He is set down at the right hand of the Father. We thank you, Lord, for his blood being shed and that you accepted it. It is the satisfactory payment. Thank you, Lord, as our great high priest, it's already been done. Thank you that when we come to Jesus and trust in him and him alone, you give to us eternal life, and we are with him forever. Thank you, Lord, for the great picture of Jesus as the great high priest, and not a covering for sin, but a final payment for sin. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks.